All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Coral W. Peach presiding. All my business before this court draw near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good afternoon. This is Judge Peach, and I'm joined by Judge Greenberg, who is appearing remotely, and by Judge Jakeworth, who is present with me in the courtroom. We are convened today in the hybrid proceeding to consider arguments in the matter of Franklin A. Green versus Dennis McDonough, Secretary of the Veterans Affairs, case number 21-4193. Will counsel, beginning with the appellate's counsel, please enter your appearance for the record.
Good afternoon. Haley Smith for Mr. Franklin Green, joined by co-counsel Chris Gossett.
Would counsel like to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, 10 minutes, please.
Okay, thank you. Counsel?
Yes, Dennis Pittman and Amanda Hedden for the Secretary of Veterans Affairs.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if counsel are ready, we'll begin with appellate's counsel. Ms. Smith?
May it please the court. The issue before this court is whether the board erred when it denied TDIU as a matter of law. Mr. Green was harmed by the board's denial as it limits his effective date he can obtain for entitlement to TDIU and caps his benefit to a scheduler rating. Mr. Green argued in his opening brief that the board does not have jurisdiction to adjudicate entitlement to TDIU, a downstream ratings issue, before the AOJ adjudicated it in the first instance. The board's jurisdiction is governed by 38 U.S.C. 7104, states that all questions in the matter.
Ms. Smith, excuse me, didn't the RO adjudicate TDIU in the first instance?
The RO did adjudicate entitlement to TDIU. TDIU is a rating, however, so the RO didn't get to adjudicate the downstream rating for TDIU or the underlying acquired psychiatric disability.
How is that a jurisdictional problem?
The board, because there was no final adjudication or initial adjudication by the AOJ on that ratings issue, the board didn't have jurisdiction to discuss it in the first instance when the AOJ hadn't discussed it yet.
The ratings issue was concerning the acquired psychiatric disorder, not TDIU. They adjudicated TDIU.
They adjudicated entitlement to TDIU, but TDIU is a rating. It's a way to get a 100% rating. And so that ratings issue had not been adjudicated yet because there was no grant of service connection yet, which is the foundational requirement for entitlement to TDIU. In this case,
isn't that an issue? It's not a separate. It's not an unclaimed item. It was specifically claimed by the veteran, specifically adjudicated by the RO, specifically appealed to the board, and then adjudicated by the board. That's all the elements of jurisdiction, isn't it?
The board couldn't have had jurisdiction over a downstream TDIU rating, which is what TDIU is, a downstream rating, because the AOJ couldn't have gotten to the rating issue yet because the service connection hadn't been granted. So the board couldn't have reached that issue because the AOJ hadn't reached that issue yet. So the board didn't have jurisdiction over it.
So let's say that the board had simply affirmed the AOJ's adjudication of both the acquired psychiatric disorder and TDIU, there wouldn't be any question of jurisdiction in that context, would there?
I think that would change how we viewed the case, but I think the issue is that the board adjudicated service connection and then denied the downstream ratings before the AOJ had issued it, and that's the real harm here.
Yeah, so what you're really saying is that the board can't adjudicate entitlement to TDIU because evidence pertaining to that downstream rating element had not yet fully been developed, right?
Yes.
But that's not a jurisdictional matter. That's something that the board should have remanded for development. They had jurisdiction to decide the question, but the proper decision of that question would have been a remand. Isn't that right?
We don't believe the board had jurisdiction because they hadn't reached the AOJ yet, but if the court does find the board had jurisdiction, then yes, it was premature for the board to adjudicate entitlement to TDIU because the AOJ hadn't reached it yet.
Sorry for the interruptions.
If I could intervene here and ask a couple of questions. Just kind of going through the sequence of events or the chronology, this claim all began in August of 2017. And he filed for bipolar and unemployment and to reopen his PTSD. And that was August. Then that same month, he filed a separate claim for TDIU. Is that correct?
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
And then in November of 2017, the RO denied the claims for the psychiatric disorder, PTSD, and the TDIU.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And was that TDIU then referring to that separate claim that he filed?
I think
I
think it goes back to the August of 2017 adjudicated it with the psychiatric condition.
Yeah, because this is the November 17, 2017 denial by the RO, which would have, I think, included that claim, the separate claim for TDIU.
Yes, it looked like they considered that. Yes.
Yeah. And then he filed a nod in November of 2017 and claimed TDIU again.
Yeah, he filed another application for TDIU in November of 2017 and then he also filed a notice of disagreement. Yes.
And why would he file a claim for TDIU? I mean, isn't that sort of part of the whole process?
Well, I think if you're asking about the second in November of 2017 for the application for TDIU, it was denied in that November 2017 rating decision because he wasn't found unable to secure or follow substantially gainful employment.
Okay.
And also, they mentioned that he didn't send a complete 21-8-940. So I think that's why that was he included that after the rating decision.
Yeah, and then when it was denied in June of 2019, then in September, after he got the SOC, he opted into, Mr. Green opted into the AMA system.
Yes.
And then in February 2021, which is the case, which is the decision we're talking about now, the appeal decision, that board granted him service connection for his acquired psychiatric disorder. And
that's
then
correct.
Denied TDIU. And you are, Mr. Green is saying that that the board should not have made that decision, that it should have been a downstream, and then it would be given to the rating officer for his for the rating on Mr. Green's PTSD, which happened. Because in May of 2021, Mr. Green got ratings that were effective August 2017 for 30%, September 2019 for 50%, and April 21st for 70%, which would then, at 70%, he would get TDIU. Is that correct? So did I get that correct, that these ratings decisions were made, the percentages effective as of those dates?
Yes, that's correct.
And so what is Mr. Green, is he really looking at getting a 70% effective way back to August of 2017? Is that what he's looking for?
I think what we're looking for and what he's looking for here is for the court to fix the board's denial of TDIU as a matter of law prior to February of 2021. And, you know, what happens back at the agency, that doesn't impact the board's error here, which is that it foreclosed that earlier effective date for TDIU, which is just an alternate way to get that 100% rating, at least back to 2017.
So you want the board, the court, to remand the case back to the board so that the board could do what?
We'd like the court to void the board's denial as a matter of law, because that's the real harm here to Mr. Green, because it prevents him from getting an earlier effective date for his TDIU. That's what we would like, but in the alternative, we would like this case to go back to the board on remand for the board to provide adequate reasons and basis for its decision, specifically that the board didn't explain why it granted service connection but then denied TDIU because he wasn't service connected for any different reason.
But your statements that Mr. Green would like, that this situation that we have now precludes Mr. Green from obtaining an earlier effective date, but the way the case has proceeded, doesn't he have that opportunity? Because he's the May 2021 decision giving him the ratings. I think it's been, have you gone through the appeal process on any of that?
He has appealed the May 2021 ratings decision, yes.
So why isn't that enough to say that he has the possibility of getting an effective date back in August of 2017?
Well, as we can see from the ratings decision, that one and the December 2021 ratings decision, TDIU was only granted from April of 2021. And we have this final board decision here that TDIU is being denied as a matter of law. There's no evidence that Mr. Green could put in that could overcome that denial as a matter of law, and that's harmful to him because it prevents that earlier effective date for TDIU, and I think that's highlighted by the RO's decision.
But you still have that process ahead of you to take issue with it, and you've continuously Mr. Green has continuously pursued this case. And at the end, if he's not precluded from getting from being awarded a higher rating effective of the 70% at August of 17, if he's continuously pursued it.
He has continuously pursued his claim. For him to continuously pursue it at this point, he would need to file a supplemental claim. But in order for a supplemental claim to be re-adjudicated, he would have to present new and relevant evidence. And there is no evidence that can overcome this board's denial as a matter of law. And this is circular, so we have to wait for maybe to go back to the VA to hopefully fix the issue, but it's unlikely that the RO would go against a board finding as a matter of law that he's not entitled to that benefit prior to February of 2021.
You can go ahead with the rest of your argument.
May I, Judge Beach, this is Judge Greenberg. I have a question. Why aren't you insisting that the mistake of law should be remedied by a reversal and send the case back for entry of the August 2017 as the effective date?
We would like, I think that would be the outcome that we would want, but the board's voiding of the matter of law is the most crucial aspect here for us, because that's what harms him, is that denial as a matter of law.
What are you going to put in the record to justify the, pardon me, the 2017 effective date if you haven't already put in or attempted to put in?
He could, Mr. Green could submit evidence showing that he's entitled to the TDIU back then. That could be in the form of another vocational opinion, in the form of a private opinion showing the impact of his psychiatric disorder rating or his psychiatric disorder on his ability to obtain and maintain substantially gainful employment. And he had no opportunity to do that before the board's denial, as a matter of
fact. Well, but does he have it? Do you have it in hand? All of these proofs or offers of proof for the board's making a wrong decision as a matter of law, as you argue, but did you not have in hand all these submissions?
He did submit some evidence for TDIU, but the AAJ hadn't adjudicated his underlying disability ratings, hadn't adjudicated any of that before the board denied it as a matter of law, and so he was excluded from presenting evidence that psychiatric disability prevented him from gainful employment.
Sorry for interrupting. One final question. Could you state the holding you would like the court, the optimal holding you would like the court to enter?
We would like the court to void the board decision because we believe the board didn't have jurisdiction over the downstream TDIU rating. But if the court finds that the board had jurisdiction, we still ask the court to void the board's finding that TDIU may be denied as a matter of law.
Thank you.
Ms. Smith, when you say that the veteran was prevented from presenting evidence, do you mean he was prevented from doing so before the board rendered its February 2021 decision, or prevented from doing so entirely? Because there was further development since then, right? I mean, the VA afforded the veteran two subsequent examinations and medical opinions that resulted in the other proceedings in April and October of 2021.
Right. But I think that illuminates the harm a little bit. I think that it's clear he did present some evidence before the board decided it, but there isn't any evidence now that he can present that can overcome the board's denial because he said he can't get that benefit prior to February of 2021. So there has been some development for the psychiatric disability ratings, but TDIU has been denied prior to February of 2021 and has been granted from April of 2021.
In June of 2021, Mr. Green elected for the direct review. Is that correct? With the and that he could submit evidence within the evidence lane. Did he submit any evidence? This evidence that you would, I think you were alluding to, he should have or could be have submitted. If we have to go through a supplemental claim. So what is this evidence that Was it already presented, or is it something new, or?
So he, Mr. Green's represented by different counsel back at the agency, so it's unclear what evidence they've submitted or haven't submitted in this case.
Well, he did submit the September 2019 private examination, right? I mean, that's what the board relied upon in making the decision contrary to what the RO did about the acquired psychiatric disorder. So there's that. We know that.
Right. And the board, and you know, I think the board didn't even consider that evidence. I mean, if we read the decision for TDIU, it discusses the 2019 statement of the case, but then goes on to deny this claim as a matter of law because he's not service connected for any disability. So it's not clear that that evidence was even considered in adjudicating TDIU.
So Mr. Green asked the court here to void the board's decision because the board didn't have jurisdiction over the downstream TDIU rating. But in the event that the court does find the board have jurisdiction, Mr. Green still asked the court to void the board's finding that TDIU must be denied as a matter of law. In doing so, the board prevented Mr. Green from presenting any evidence that could overcome that denial for the period on appeal. There is no evidence that he could present that could change the finding. As a result, and as a consequence, the board limited his effective date for TDIU. In the alternative, Mr. Green requests that the court find that the board erred, finding he wasn't service-connected for any disabilities earlier in the decision, or found that service connection was warranted for an acquired psychiatric disability.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Counsel for VA.
Your Honors, may it please the court. Based on developments since the board's February 2021 denial of entitlement to TDIU, there is no remaining controversy for which the court may grant relief in this matter. But even if the court were to find that a controversy remains, appellant's arguments must fail. He asks that the court either nullify the board's decision on the basis that it lacked jurisdiction over the TDIU issue, or in the alternative that court vacate the decision and remand on the basis of error. However, the statutory requirements for jurisdiction have been met in this case, and there was no prejudice in the board's denial, despite any errors may have contained.
Well, on that point, what is the secretary's position on whether the board erred?
We acknowledge that the board erred in identifying the grant of service connection as evidence that it was precluded from considering. A grant of service connection is not evidence, though it is a matter of fact. The distinction is important under the AMA as evidence windows are limited under the AMA. So if the board, in considering a grant of service connection as evidence, found that it was unable to consider that, we do not think that is correct. However,
the board didn't really articulate that, but what you're saying is that it's the board's statement that the AMA precluded considering its own determination that the acquired psychiatric disorder was service connected was wrong. That was an error.
Yes, because it used the word evidence. And that implies that it was limited under the AMA's restrictions on what evidence the board may consider from addressing that grant of entitlement back to the time of the AOJ's decision. It treated it as though the factual record overall was closed as of AOJ's determination rather than the evidentiary record. And by describing that denial or describing the grant of service connection as evidence, it placed it within that restriction, and we don't think that was correct, Your Honor. However, that is not ultimately prejudicial to appellant, where the issue of TDIU remains part and parcel of the initial rating to be assigned for the service-connected disability that the board granted in its decision. That is part of the court's holding in Rice, and it remains a valid matter of law under the legacy system or the modern system.
But without court action, what assurance does the veteran have that the board's denial of his claim as a matter of law will not adversely affect his challenge to the TDIU effective date?
Under 7104B, the only preclusive effect that a board decision have is on re-adjudication on the same factual basis. By its very nature, the assignment of new ratings for a service-connected disability changes the factual basis and requires a de novo review of the issue when it returns to the board. So the matters that are pending review at the board at this time, including the initial rating for the service-connected acquired psychiatric disability going back to August 2017, require de novo review, including of entitlement to TDIU as part and parcel of that initial rating. Nothing about the board's decision is preclusive of that de novo review. And the board's denial as a matter of law, that is the characterization the board uses when appellant has not met the scheduler criteria for entitlement to TDIU or met the legal requirements for even extra scheduler consideration, because at the time the board, or at the time of the AOJ decision on review, appellant had no service-connected disabilities that had been granted. Because the board based its decision back to the original AOJ decision, that's why it determined that entitlement wasn't warranted as a matter of law. However, that's no longer the situation. Service-connected has been granted for a disability, and ratings have been assigned for it. And based on our submissions in our SOLSI notices, he has also been granted TDIU for the entire period he currently meets the scheduler criteria under 38 CFR 4.16A. So unless those...
But that's not the entirety of the veteran's claim, right? I mean, he sought TDIU for as much as the law allows in whatever way it does. It wasn't the veteran who said, I only want scheduler consideration. Right?
Correct, Your Honor, but that also remains pending as part of the appeal of the initial rating. It remains pending for the agency at this time.
So perhaps we can agree that the board's erroneous determination shouldn't have preclusive effect, but what's the guarantee that it won't?
If the AOJ or the board were to assign it any preclusive effect in the future, we agree that would be an error, but at this time, that error remains hypothetical. It has not occurred yet. The AOJ granted TDIU for a period already, and the remaining period on appeal dating back to August 2017 remains pending before the board as part of that initial rating decision that followed the board decision on appeal. So,
but what about that means we have to wait to address an error that's properly framed in a case that's properly before us right now? Or put another way, why does the veteran have to wait to find out if the error is repeated and then appeal it and us correct it 3 years from now when it's properly before the court today? Why shouldn't we correct it today?
Because, Your Honor, the relief that appellant is asking for does not result in him being placed in any better position than he is currently in based on the status quo. We agree that the board decision is based on facts that no longer exist following subsequent action by the agency. Furthermore, even at the time of the board's decision, a grant of service connection automatically results in a referral of the initial rating for that service-connected disability back to the AOJ. So entitlement to TDIU, whether it's remanded as intertwined or not, is going to return to the AOJ for consideration after the assignment of that initial rating, naturally under the court's holding in Rice. So Our argument isn't that the board made no errors in its decision, rather that any action by the court is unnecessary because appellant has suffered no harm as a result of those errors. Everything that's proceeded from the board's decision would have happened with or without that error. And furthermore, since in this unique set of circumstances, appellant had no other service-connected disabilities, the board was not in a position where it could have granted TDIU at the time of the decision on appeal. At most, it could have remanded it as intertwined. And perhaps at the time, that would have been the preferable course of action. But under the AMA, 38 CFR 20.802A, the only mandatory grounds for remand are for a duty to assist error.
That's not true, is it? Doesn't 802 specifically provide for remand of errors of the RO's failure to fulfill its statutory and regulatory duties, including things like deciding service connection, rating decisions, and effective dates?
The language of that regulation uses the word may remand. I don't have the exact language in front of me, but that that section, the second clause that offers the ability for the board to remand for correction of a statutory or regulatory error says that the board may remand. And the court has consistently held that the use of the word may in statutes and regulations in that context is a showing of discretion for the secretary.
But isn't that the only remedy here? Are you saying that the board could have adjudicated TDIU on its own without a remand based on the record that it had before it?
Because options available to the board at the time were to either deny or remand, because it could not have granted without initial ratings being assigned, it was limited in its options. And we think that perhaps what they had in mind was rather a denial for ripeness or dismissal for ripeness, which might have been another way to characterize their decision. But ultimately, the question of whether that would have been the better resolution in the case is now rendered moot by what is come after, because TDIU has been granted for the full period that the schedule of rating has been provided and all remaining issues remain pending before the agency. To the extent that a remand would have been preferable, the ultimate effect of a remand is achieved merely by granting service connection. So whether a discretionary remand of the issue is intertwined would have been more clear or not. It's not ultimately necessary for the same effect to be provided. Appellant is left with the same opportunities to get the same benefits with or without such a remand.
Shouldn't the veteran be able to? I'm sorry, Judge Greenberg, go ahead.
May I ask, I take a little bit broader view of this. The scope of review statute, the fundamental statute of our court, 38 U.S.C. 7261, gives us the authority to decide all relevant questions of law, skipping over a few other specific powers that we have, and to determine the meaning or applicability of the terms of an action of the secretary. What more do we need, or what more can the veteran put in that hasn't been made a part of the record for us to rule that the effective date should be October or August of 2017? That's the remedy they seek. That's the guarantee I think my colleague was attempting to elicit from. Why should we? You're all here now. What more has to be done to enter the order that the appellant seeks if that's our inclination.
Your Honor, my understanding of the relief that appellant seeks is either for the board's decision to be simply nullified for lack of jurisdiction, which we disagree that the board lacked jurisdiction, or for the matter to be remanded, because at this point, the board in the decision on appeal didn't address the actual merits issue of whether entitlement to TDIU was warranted based on actual unemployability, because no ratings had yet been assigned. So there's no basis for actually granting a benefit all the way back to August 2017 in the appeal of the board decision that is currently before the court, because that matter was not addressed. Also, that matter remains pending before the board at this time, and if appellant disagrees with what the board decides in those pending appeals, he will have the opportunity to appeal to the court after the board has had the opportunity to address the facts of the case with the ratings that were applied after the board decision on appeal.
What more does the secretary need that it doesn't have to enter an effective date of August 2017?
Well, at the moment, appellant only needs the scheduler criteria under 38 CFR 4.16A to April 21st, 2021, and he's been granted TDIU for that period. For consideration prior to that date, the requirements of 4.16B need to be met. So entitlement to an extra schedule.
What are they that you don't, or the secretary doesn't already have in the record? That secondary submission you're referring to.
Well, the requirements for extra scheduler consideration require referral to the Director of Compensation Services for an initial decision to grant. And if there's disagreement with that decision, it may be appealed to the board. But at this time, the extra scheduler consideration has not been referred to the Secretary of Compensation Services because the AOJ in the subsequent appeals did not find that it was warranted. And obviously, appellant disagrees with that decision, but those matters remain pending on appeal before the board at this time. The board, in the decision that's currently before the court, did not reach that issue because no ratings had been assigned yet.
All right.
I'm sorry, Judge Greenberg, are you done?
Yes.
Mr. Pittman, why shouldn't the veteran be able to choose to press forward here rather than wait to see if the board, when it gets to his appeal of the AOJ effective date determination, agrees that its prior February 2021 decision has no preclusive effect?
Your Honor, at this juncture, we disagree with appellant's request for remand back to the board, essentially for the sake of administrative and judicial efficiency, because it ultimately results in a redundant and duplicative appeal stream of an issue that's already pending in two other appeal streams before the board. With the current ratings that are assigned for appellant's sole service-connected disability, the most he could be awarded on a remand from this court is extra scheduler consideration. So a remand back to the AOJ for referral to the Director of Compensation Services under 4.16B. He couldn't be granted the benefits under 4.16A with the ratings he's currently assigned. So essentially, we argue that there's no added benefit to adding a third appeal stream for entitlement to TDIU to the board's docket through a remand of the decision where the issue is already pending and includes an appeal of the initial rating for that service-connected disability that covers the full period on appeal for the matter as appealed to the court.
Assuming that we're not poised to decide the TDIU issue or decide whether extra scheduler consideration is warranted. How does that change our jurisdiction to vacate a board decision that made a clear error?
Well, it's within, in the statute that outlines the scope of review for the court, the court's directed to take account of the rule of prejudicial error. And that is a matter of judicial efficiency and administrative efficiency in avoiding the return of cases to the board where no benefit could be conferred on appellant.
Except all you can tell us on that score is that it's too early to tell, that there hasn't been any prejudice to date. But there's no assurance that there won't be prejudice. As the appellant's counsel points out, the effective date to this point, which may be justified, as you've argued, but it's not before February of 2021. So we don't know if the board will give preclusive effect to its prior decision as long as it stands, if the matter comes back to them.
Yes, Your Honor, but as we've outlined, we consider, well, we're arguing that the court should consider the matter moot because all of this harm that appellant has put forward is based on a hypothetical future error. And for the court's consideration in this matter, the court needs to be addressing an actual harm to his legal rights based on a concrete error.
Well, we have that, an existing concrete error.
Yes, but that harm to appellant's rights is hypothetical based on additional error in reliance on the board's decision. We agree that the board provided an inadequate basis for its decision. However, there is no preclusive effect to that decision where the facts have changed.
Does that mean that you agree that the decision is a nullity with respect to the TDIU adjudication?
It's not a nullity in the sense that it decided a claim that was presented to it and appealed to it, but it has no future preclusive effect because the facts of the subsequent adjudications that are pending before the board at this time are going to be different. And review of those facts requires a de novo review.
But practically speaking, how is the AOJ supposed to know that the board's February 21, 2021 decision has no effect on TDIU?
It's simply a characteristic of the statute that lays out the board's jurisdiction, Your Honor. It's in 7104B that re-adjudication of a board denial is only barred when it's on the same factual basis. And where the factual basis for the denial no longer exists, it's not preclusive of reconsideration of the entitlement being sought by it.
That's not very comforting in a case where the board's decision is pretty clearly wrong under the statute, and yet the error was still made.
Yes, Your Honor, but the circumstances that led the board to make that decision also no longer exist. The board made its decision based on a record in which appellant had not been granted service connection for any disabilities or been assigned any ratings for a disability. That is no longer the case for any subsequent decisions the board will be.
But the circumstance upon which the board decided the case does still exist, because the board decided the case because it concluded that the AMA mandated that it decide the TDIU issue based on the record frozen in time at the time that the AOJ had the claim, and because there was no service-connected disability at that time, regardless of what it just did with the one hand, it had to, as a matter of law, deny.
However,
so that error remains.
However, in the pending appeal before the board, the appeal is arising from a subsequent AOJ decision that assigned ratings in May 2021. That is going to be the AOJ decision on appeal to the board in the pending appeal. So even if it were to rely on such an erroneous interpretation of the law, it would not be looking at the facts as they stood in the AOJ decision in 2017 anymore. But even...
Well, shouldn't anyway.
Well, yes, Your Honor, but again, that's supposing a future hypothetical error by the board.
But we don't have to look at future hypothetical errors, right? We have to look at this error and the record before us today, which does not show that the veteran could not be harmed by this error.
I may be getting tripped up with your question, Your Honor, but I think we're kind of reaching a circular argument here, because our assertion is that the board's decision is left without preclusive effect simply by operation of its jurisdictional statutes and the statute laying out what its scope of review is. When the case returns to it and a new factual basis is provided for the claim, it conducts a de novo review just as a matter of statutory law. That was the case under the legacy appeal system, and it was unchanged by AMA. Any error it may have made in this decision has no forward effect, because the board is going to have to readdress the issue based on the full factual record before it when it returns as part of the pending appeals. And if it were to assign any preclusive effect to the board decision on appeal in this matter, that would be error, but such error has not occurred yet. And appellant would have the opportunity to appeal that to the court if it does occur, but it's inappropriate for the court to provide an opinion based on a hypothetical future error. That is an advisory opinion.
Not when we're addressing an error that's before us. And if it doesn't matter, why hasn't the board addressed it? They're empowered to reconsider clearly erroneous decisions.
Because I would not hazard to speculate as to why the board didn't sua sponte reconsider the decision, but I would suspect that at this point they don't see the purpose in it, since the benefit sought on appeal has been in part granted and the remainder of the issue remains pending in matters that were before the AOJ and are now pending before the board. So there is no benefit to be had for appellant in revisiting the decision at this point.
So right now at this time, speaking of time, how much is left?
Just over 3 minutes, okay, Your Honor.
Thank you. So at this point in time, the case is at, Mr. Green has filed an NOD regarding the December 2021 grant of TDIU, which was made effective April 2021 because he met a scheduler rating. So he has appealed that. And in the process of that appeal, the board could not grant higher ratings based on whatever evidence they have before it?
It would not be in the appeal from that decision. It would be from the appeal of the initial of the rating decision from May 2021 that assigned the initial ratings.
Yes, yes. So the 2021 May decision with the three ratings, and that is included then as part of the appeal that he has now pending before the board?
Yes, Your Honor. He has two separate appeals pending, one for that May decision and one for the December decision.
Are they at the same, would they be heard the same time, or are they going on two different tracks? Or
Under the AMA, those are assigned different dockets because they were appealed with different notices of disagreement. Mm-hmm. So they would not be heard at the same time. However, because TDIU remains part and parcel of the initial rating assigned in the May 2021 decision, the appeal of that initial rating would include consideration of TDIU. So the issue of TDIU remains part of both of those appeals.
At which point then, it's possible Mr. Green could get TDIU based on an extra scheduler situation?
If the board found it was warranted.
If the evidence is there or whatever, if it's warranted.
Yes, if the board found that evidence warranted consideration of extra scheduler TDIU, they could remand for referral to the Director of Compensation Services consistent with 4.1.
Okay, and if that was found to be, then the effective date would be?
As early as August 2017.
Okay, so in your mind, this is a continuous pursuit of a claim?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where the appellant does not forfeit any effective dates, that the effective date would be as of the initial claim?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. Thank you.
Judge Green, do you have any further questions?
This is Judge Greenberg. I have one additional question. I've been following my colleague. What assurance does the veteran have that the board or somebody, the secretary, won't make another mistake or the same mistake? What more does the secretary need that he doesn't already have to assign an effective date of 2017, as I understand it, what they saw?
Your Honor, I'm out of time.
With 3 minutes, can we put 3 minutes on?
The assurance is simply that the board is required to provide a de novo review of the evidence. And as to the matter that's currently on appeal before the court, the board did not have the opportunity to address the underlying elements of entitlement to TDIU because no ratings had been assigned for it to determine whether appellant qualified for a scheduler TDIU or not, because the initial ratings had not yet been assigned. And the board itself does not assign those initial ratings so as to preserve the veteran's opportunity for one appeal before the agency. So it would have been premature for the board to address those underlying issues. So to the extent the board addressed the issue of entitlement to TDIU and the decision that's currently on appeal, it did not even reach those underlying issues of unemployability that go into a determination of actual entitlement. So the board has not addressed those issues at all to date, not in the decision that's currently on appeal, and all remaining claims that deal with that issue remain pending and have not yet been assigned for adjudication at this time. So I don't know if that specifically answers your question, but it's essentially the board's duty to provide this de novo review every time an issue is returned to it where the facts of the case differ from its prior adjudication.
I think I understand your position. Thank you. I have nothing further, Judge.
Thank you. Judge Jaquith?
No, nothing further. Thank you.
I'll just ask for one clarification. In the current NOD that has been filed, the board could, as a possibility, based on the facts or if it's warranted, grant a 70% right off the bat instead of this 30% and 50% and 70%. I mean,
in the matter that's pending before the board at this time, it could assign any increased ratings in excess of 30% dating back to August 2017.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions based on that? Okay, fine.
No.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Your Honor.
Ms. Smith?
There is a present harm here that the court needs to remedy. The court needs to remedy the board's denial of TDIU as a matter of law. The AOJ could remedy the situation here, but that's speculation. We don't know what would happen back at the agency. And the secretary points out that there is no preclusive effect, or there would be no preclusive effect to this board's denial as a matter of law, but it's clear that can't be guaranteed. If there's error in the future to preclude an earlier effective date for TDIU based on that May 2021 ratings decision, the court should find that error exists now, and the court needs to remedy that situation by voiding the board's denial of TDIU as a matter of law prior to February of 2021 for the period on appeal from August of 2017 to February of 2021. Until the board does that, the board decision stands, it's final, and Mr. Green is precluded from an earlier effective date for his TDIU. So Mr. Green would ask the court to void the board's denial as a matter of law for TDIU, because the board did not have jurisdiction over that issue. But if the court finds the board did have jurisdiction, we still ask that the court void the board's denial of TDIU as a matter of law, because he is still harmed by that denial, as evidenced by the AOJ's grant of TDIU from April of 2021. The alternative, we request that the court find that the board erred, finding that he was not service connected for any disabilities when earlier in the decision it found that service connection for an acquired psychiatric disability was warranted. Thank you.
Any questions, Judge Greenberg?
What is wrong with us entering an order based upon interpretation of the law that a proper or correct effective date is, what is it, August, October of 2017? What more is it? We're talking about the veteran here. What can he rely on as a guarantee that things are going to be done correctly when it goes back? You're up here, you're court now. Is anything more that you think as a lawyer for the appellant and the veteran that as a matter of law has to be placed in the record to get what you've been asking for, an effective date of 2017?
There is no guarantee that he would get, the board would do the right thing and would award that effective date. So,
well, what more, just a minute, if I may, what more do you think you have to put in the record to justify 2017, if anything?
We don't believe that anything else needs to be put in the record, because we think the record as it stands shows that he should get the entire TDIU back to August 2017.
All right. I get it. Finally. Thank you. Well, I have Judge Peach.
Thank you. Judge Jacobs?
No, thank you, Judge Peach.
Okay, thank you. No further questions? The case is submitted, and with the thanks of the court to the counsel. It is now.
All rise. The court is in recess.